Welcome, anyway, everyone, to another episode of the Black Tower Podcast, a Wheel of Time podcast. Yeah, I am.
It's recording night, Daniel. Get your game face on.
Fuck.
I am one of your hosts, Andrew, your Bajan Mahel, and I am recording this. This is the first thing for BTP being recorded from my new place. There was going to be like sound tiles up, but they didn't want to stick to the wall. So. It actually was. It's super quiet.
That was super quiet, Josh. I don't know what you just did, but whatever it was so super quiet.
Now
you're just going to ASMR us? Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. I am your Sauravan Mahel, Josh, here to soothe you with the sweet sound of my voice as we delve into the world of the Wheel of Time.
The world. And you'll never see
it's like four fucking episodes in a row now.
Combo!
The sad part is I was trying to think of the words so that I could do it. Fucking bad influences.
This motherfucker Andrew only giving me shit because he
I give my significant other a blindfold so they'll never see it coming.
Yikes.
Really to protect and his VO face.
And Tom Mahale, the last one, the third of the friends and the hosts and the cons and the Mahales and the Gars and the stuff. I'm Daniel.
There was a voice I was going to do, but I'm not going to do it because it is a bad voice to do for several years now.
I believe you.
I think you probably already thought of what voice it would be.
God damn it, Cass.
That is not that one.
You can't do that voice. If you do that voice, you get in trouble.
All right. So before we get into even the spoiler warning, which is going to be a new one from some fantastic Patreon friend supporters and fellow podcasters in the Watadum. Yes. Watadum. Yep. Let's just do Watadum. Because Watadum sounds like I'm about to call somebody a dumbass. But.
I was thinking you were going to say the Watadum and the Watasub.
You know that works. Anyway, if you want more of our stuff or haven't found your way over to our website yet, make sure you go and check out blacktowerpod.com. I'm not going to say much more because I've already recorded me saying much more, and here you go right about the wretch now.
Did you know that the Black Tower Podcast has its very own website? No? Well, then make sure you head on over to www.blacktowerpod.com for even more Black Tower Podcast tainty goodness. On our site, you can find all of our social media links conveniently located towards the bottom left if you're on computer. There are links to the Facebook page, our Twitter, our YouTube, and our Instagram. So you can keep up to date with us by finding all of our social media there. Also on our website, you can find a link to the forums that we have, where we have all kinds of discussions and, as Morshadi has done plenty of times, run naked through the forums. No worries, there's no pictures. We turned off the cameras for that. You can find links to Black Tower Podcast merch, both on New Creations by Jen and from Spreadshirt, where you can find any of our designs that we've ever put out. And you can go and get yourself whatever kind of merchandise you want, be it shirts, glasses, aprons for cooking, bags, hats, buttons, anything that you want, you can find in between the two merch shops that we have. The website also has a very quick and accessible link for our Discord, where you can come and join all of the fantastic tainty discussions that we have in our Discord server. We do have sections for spoiler and non-spoiler content, so you can come and enjoy something for you if you have finished a series, or something for you if you haven't finished a series. Another key feature is our Dragonsworn On Demand section, where you can automatically see the most recent 5 videos from our YouTube that will play on an automatic playlist for you on the website. A quick button to get to our YouTube there as well, and you can just listen to the most recent 5 episodes that we have posted on Podbean. If you're curious about events and things we have coming up, we also have the Black Tower calendar where you can go and look and see when we generally do our live Patreon recordings, when our episodes go live, and any events and things that we have coming up that we can put on the calendar. A quick link to our Patreon where you can join and get access to all kinds of different content, including pre-recordings, and depending on the tier, early access to episodes, shout outs, all that kind of fun stuff. And of course, we will update the Patreon whenever we do have the updates ready to go live. We are still working on that. That is coming as of right now. Make sure you head on over to our website where you can literally get access to anything that we have and we put out.
There's everything about BlackTowerPod.com.
Fuck you, Josh. Fuck you. Fuck you right in the butthole.
Eventually, I'll get around and
we'll fix it in post.
I'll get around to actually updating that, at least the section about Patreon, to include the new Patreon benefits. Like I said, I would do in the pre-recording that I've now used like 6 times since we actually updated Patreon. But I'll do it eventually once I get everything settled from the move. But you know who doesn't have to get anything settled but moves a ton of Rocky Crystally product? Josh's better half,
the Crystal Barista.
My wise one, the Crystal Barista.
I see what you did there.
Is she roof mistress of the entire hold
except
for the garage?
She is roof mistress of the Red Bricks hold.
All right. Sorry to interrupt whatever you may be watching or listening to, whatever topic we're covering right now, but we absolutely have to take a moment to talk about and thank our friend Josh's better half and the longtime sponsor and supporter of the Black Tower podcast. Of course, this is the Crystal Barista. Whether you seek crystals and minerals and the like for their cleansing, healing, and positive vibes, or you just enjoy them and think they look pretty neat, you can find anything you could possibly want with crystals and minerals here at crystalbarista.com. With everything from individual pieces that can be ordered to monthly subscription boxes, there is something here for absolutely everyone, for every occasion, for whatever you could possibly want. There's no way you can't find something that you would like in her store. On the website crystalbarista.com, you can browse by different categories, including the subscription boxes, minerals and fossils, crystal healing, stone jewelry, all the way to just the raw slabs of whatever may be being sold. And if you're more budget conscious and you want to look at anything that is limited by price, you can look for anything that is from zero to almost $25, $25 to $50, and then anything that may be over $50. Now, if you are a rock hound and you want to get some really good tools to help you in your hounding, the Crystal Barista provides those as well. And you can find those on the same website. It's a very user-friendly website. You can find absolutely anything you need for your rock hounding, mineral, crystal, fossil needs. Now, going through the website, you can also find links to the Crystal Barista's Twitter, the Crystal Barista's Facebook, as well as the Crystal Barista's Instagram, and a couple other things. Make sure you go and follow the Crystal Barista on Twitter at RockPick, RockPick, to get updates as they come out and to be up to date on what exactly is going on with the Crystal Barista. She does like to throw up things on Twitter that may be available for you to get at slightly cheaper prices, but more commonly, you can find that over on the Crystal Barista Facebook. So again, same name on Facebook, RockPick, and you'll be looking for the page that says Crystal Barista, formerly Rock Pick Legend Company. Facebook is a good place for updates for the Crystal Barista. And if you just like to look at pictures and kind of see everything that's going on mixed in with some updates, hit up the Crystal Barista on Instagram. You can find her at the Crystal Barista. Again, that's barista with one R, B-A-R-I-S-T-A, which I think is the only way to spell it. But we all know how much trouble I have with spelling. So make sure you go over and check out what the Crystal Barista has to offer and tell her that the Black Tower podcast sent you.
We do actually have someone else to talk about. And if I go any further into later on things about Matt Stickery, then we're going to need a spoiler warning. So we should probably slap one of those spoiler condoms
We should probably spread on some protection.
before we go any further and Daniel ruins book four for everybody.
Well, before we do that, as soon as I can, where's my fucking...
Do we have more?
Yeah, well, wait, I figured there's more. That I said that once we got them, we would show them. And sorry, live listening patrons, so that we can notify the person that they can actually release what the work they did for us. I cannot.
Ladies and gentlemen, live, you guys are getting to see something fantastic.
So let it be written.
So let it be done.
A while back, when we announced stickers, we were like, we only have like 3 designs. We need more.
But wait.
So we look to ourselves for inspiration, as any good person or group does. And I'm going to turn off my virtual background so that it doesn't fuck with shit. So we commissioned the absolutely fantastic, the lovely, the winner of our mixology contest, Tree X Hugger, or Tree, as most people just know her as Tree, to do some artwork for us.
She's and amazing.
She delivered amazingly. So here for you to see live are what she had made for us. And these are all, of course, stickers.
Dude, I love that. I love that so much. Oh,
I'm gonna turn down the light so it doesn't glare as much. So this is just all of the great captains of the Black Tower podcast.
Yes.
Which means you know they gotta have a tainty twist. So
they don't have a tainty twist.
Or this one. And they have the names on them. We have Papa Patron.
He's a cranky old grandpa.
We have a Daddy Davram.
Hey, Daddy!
I love it.
We have Uncle Agomar.
Yes.
It's so perfect.
Of course, the infamous Brodel Itarade.
Which is still my favorite. He's still amazing.
Fun fact, this design was pretty much Tree's like, hey, this is my submission for my art style that I would use for this project.
And we were like, yes.
Hell yeah.
Yes, yes, and very much. Yes.
Last but certainly not least, we have Grandpa Gareth.
Yes.
Oh, dude, I love this sweater.
It's the sweater for me. Dude, this sweater is so good.
It's the sweater. And the newspaper for me.
You mean the Weekly Wheel News?
The Weekly Wheel News.
Yeah. Yes. It actually is. In the design, it is the Weekly Wheel News.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It's perfect. And
if you look close, you can see Weekly Wheel on it. So yes. Shout out to Rob Christensen of Weekly Wheel News. And by extension, of course, his lovely wife, Jen. But he does the Weekly Wheel News. Now, this is the thing I didn't know was coming. And it looks like Daniel did. Because Daniel made the comment that, oh, our bearded prophet, which is, join the Discord if you want to know what that's about, and scroll probably way back by the time you hear this. It's like, oh, there should be a gift waiting for you. And I don't know if he knew this was coming. Did you know there was something extra in the box?
I did.
Okay. So, of course, it comes with this donkey sticker.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So you're like, okay.
Sticker mule. Yep.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, that makes sense. But it came with a coaster and another placard, maybe a sticker.
Oh, that's awesome.
Do you see what it is?
Mule sauce.
It's for the Taste the Chain challenge.
Oh. Yep. Oh, yes. Yep.
And yes, I did know that that was in the box.
I didn't know. I was like, oh, that must be like some other stickers. So for the Taste the Tate Challenge 2021, we have the Hot Sauce That Kicks Ass Mule Sauce by Sticker Mule. Founded in Amsterdam, New York.
Dude, so I'm will excited. Say, I did not, that was not unbidden. They actually, because we ordered a bunch of stickers, they actually threw in a free gift. Now, I was the one to choose that out of the free gifts. And so I knew what it was and that it was coming. But I will say that it wasn't just like I bought hot sauce to also put in the box somehow. It was the free gift from Sticker Mule.
I love it.
You see the heat intensity?
Yes.
Four
out of five peppers. I love it.
And what I was going to say is that come Friday, when this episode airs, this will be the main announcement to everybody that the designs exist.
Yes.
I'm going to load them onto our merch shop tonight so that you can get them in the form of a t-shirt.
Well, one of them. There's a design.
There's the one design. The t-shirt design. Don't post yet.
Yes.
I'm not posting the t-shirt design. I'm just posting the stickers.
Yeah. The five and then the group.
But you guys will have to go to our merch shop to check out
the t-shirt on Friday.
Yeah. T-shirt design.
We'll probably tweet it out.
I was going to load it tonight, though, so that our patrons could have first crack at it.
I say load it, and we can tweet it out Friday. So the patrons will know to go ahead and go to the merch shop and at least look at it.
Precisely. That's exactly what I was going
to
do.
See, you think that you're just here to listen to us early and live and uncut, but you actually get early access to stuff when you listen live. Just saying.
Yeah.
True player for real.
So Josh will be working on. Yeah. Josh will be working on getting the images.
I'm that white.
The images of the stickers up in the live chatting for those of you that are listening live or those with access even to the channel to come back and look at.
Yep.
And you will know that after tonight going into tomorrow, you will be able to go on to Spreadshirt.blacktower. But go to blacktowerpod.com and click on Spreadshirt.
Exactly. That's the easiest way to do it.
I used to actually know our Spreadshirt link, but
I think you were actually right, but again, it's easier to just go. So you'll want to go ahead and take a look at that, the Spreadshirt shop tonight, maybe tomorrow, depending on when exactly Josh gets a chance to upload it, and take a look at the t-shirt design, because it is still the same images. I mean, I'm not going to mince words that like we got a special edition like thing for each of the art pieces, but it is in a really cool design that is specifically made to work really well as a t-shirt. And we're definitely super proud and happy of Tree and ourselves for the collaborative work that was these stickers and the t-shirt.
Yeah. So again, these will be publicly live come the Friday that this episode airs. That will be the 11th of June of 2021 for anybody listening far in the future or far in the past somehow.
Yes.
So basically Tree has free reign to talk about the designs and everything after we announce them publicly, which will not happen until the 11th of June. Now, if somebody outside of our Patreons happens to find the link to the one design that's going to be on a shirt and it gets tweeted out, you know, it is what it is. But Daniel finger guns.
Now it needs to happen, doesn't it?
I don't know if that would be appropriate though, because it's so not the podcast. I mean, it is because I'm on podcast, but like
it is. Yeah. Speaking of stickers, yes, these stickers were bought for and will be included starting July in the possible stickers you can get as part of the bi-monthly sticker benefit off of our Patreon.
Correct. So
it will be every month that we send out a sticker, that month everybody gets the same sticker, and it can change month to month. So those of you that are receiving stickers in June, I will go ahead and tell you, you will be receiving our Chibi Art stickers. So
which
they're not
looks
as
like that, but with all three of us and a flag behind us.
And that will be going out. It's better back. Matter of fact, by the time this airs,
your cheapy art that's in your background
on Friday, it
I don't know
should
be
available already.
This
that one, yes.
So it's like, yeah, the original cheapy art. I think it's also our banner on YouTube. So if you go to our YouTube channel and you'll see that, it'll be a sticker of that. So that is what is coming in
June.
Yeah. For yep. there's three people that are getting sent stickers for June, or three entities, three people, three patrons that are getting those stickers for June. That will be the chibi art. So it will be sent to you guys like here within this week, like we said during the live stream. All that being said and done. The only other thing, we're starting to plan Gathering Madness 2021.
Oh, yes.
So go ahead and be on the lookout for that. I can tell you right now, patrons, y'all are going to have the special ability to suggest hot sauces for the Taste the Tank Challenge. So basically, yes, we'll take in a bunch of suggestions from... I think what we might do is we might take suggestions of hot sauces from Twitter and allow the patrons to actually choose which ones we go with. So that way we have a pretty big pool of ideas for hot sauces, and then we'll let you guys, the patrons, be the ones that decide which
a little pool of voters.
Y'all will choose which five we do in addition to the mule sauce.
Yes, because that will definitely need to be part of it.
Oh yeah. So
we'll be choosing, I think, three others. I think we did four last year.
I'm saying we do six.
Six. Oh my Whoa. God. I don't know if my butthole can handle that.
I think what we should try to do is every year do one more than we did last time.
No, I can't do it, Andrew.
How many? We did what, four last time?
We went from one to four. That's not okay.
No, okay. In all fairness, though, the last time we started,
we kind of fudged it up a little bit.
That was
my bad. We did. We messed up super hard.
So this is going to require years of retribution, just like the breaking of the world. You got to work for a very long time to make up for that.
It's true.
So you know what? Okay. As long as we're a little smarter about it and we order them right and everything like that, we can do six.
How many did we do last time? We do four or five.
Thought we did five, right?
Actually, yeah, because we had like a total of 10 bottles.
You should,
we'll consult the video.
All right.
So it'll either be five or six, depending on what one more than last year's was. Yeah. So it'll be plus one.
Yeah, and for the voting, that plus one. Don't worry about it. You'll be voting for the same amount as last year,
exactly.
Since we are guaranteed to include the mule sauce. So. Cool. With all that said and done, I know there is somebody that is sitting here listening and being like, I really want to hear the reaction to the spoiler warning. So we are going to get into the spoiler warning so that everybody's protected. I have listened to this already like twice, and oh my God, it is hilarious. It is raunchy. If you have children, you don't want to hear this nearby, definitely cover their ears, send them out of the room. But it is absolutely fan-fucking-tastic. And here is your spoiler warning for this episode of the Black Tower Podcast.
Oh boy, here we go.
The Black Tower stands fully erect.
When the tower is bulging at full erectness, you must protect yourself from tainty spoilers.
Your spoiler condom must cover the immense girthiness of all 14 books of Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time.
With an itty bitty tip at the top for the prequel New Spring.
If your condom is too small, you will get tainty spoilages all up in your eye.
Or ears.
You have been warned.
Why was that so simple? It's so good.
You don't want taste tainty.
Just keep going. Keep going. Get there.
Tainted jizz. I've got to
tainty.
Get away.
Spoiler jizz. As opposed to what I almost said, which was tasty spoiler jizz.
I mean, it depends on, you know.
Depends on what you're into.
I love that you guys are so non-judgmental. Ladies and gentlemen, that's your spoiler warning. If you
when I listened to that for the first time,
the whole series, you're going to get it in your eye or
your ear.
More accurately, in this case, in your ear.
When I listened to it for the first time, I was like, okay, this has been my sphere of expected. And then I heard the phrase tainty spoiler jizz, and I was like,
yep.
That's fucking fantastically hilarious. So
that's true. That is true. Andrew is getting in his eye.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about this episode. I don't know how much New Spring is actually going to be in this episode, but you very well may get it in your eye.
Yes. To our fantastic friends, of course, Twitch and Mandy Cat over at the Gleeman's Apprentice. Thank you so much for only supporting us on Patreon, but also for that amazing spoiler warning. Twitch, if Mandy can't hear us right now because you're here with us live, definitely make sure to extend our gratitude.
Pass on our gratitude. That is amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Also, that does make magical number 4 of the spoiler warnings that we have. If you want to come in at number 5, make sure that you go ahead and record a spoiler warning for us. As you have already seen, we will play it the next episode after it's sent to us.
Yeah. If so, it's something that we honestly are like, we can't do this. Like, we'll tell you beforehand tell you where the problem was so that you could redo it.
But as you just heard, you definitely have to cross a pretty, thick line, a very thick line of tainty jizz to actually get area that is not good. So again, thank you so much, Twitch. You guys are fantastic.
Super awesome.
Always a pleasure, and that is definitely one that will be used again.
Yeah, and of course, if you have already recorded one for us, it doesn't matter. Any of our patrons, as long as you are a patron, even if you've already recorded one, you can always record and send us a revision of the one you did or a new one. It's not like a one time and you can't do it ever again. If you want to record a new one every month for us, that's fine. Just have fun. Just know it's not going to hedge your bets on being used every month, depending on how many get.
That's right.
Correct.
So, and again, like most of you guys have heard, our use of them is fairly randomized. I pick random numbers, assign random numbers, and generally ask Josh and Daniel which one they want to hear.
Correct.
They just pick a number, and whichever number it falls on is what it is. But our spoiler warnings are not the topic of today's discussion, as we are about 30 minutes into the episode, because we had cool shit to show.
We did.
We did have a lot of fun things happening.
It'll be a little less once I edit it down, kind of, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, topic of this discussion, Josh, I know like every fucking one that we do, this is one of your favorites because this whole segment was your idea. So,
what? There's some of these characters that are just... I would argue some of these background characters are more badass or more amazing than some of our main characters. Now, don't get me wrong.
You shut your mouth.
I don't love our main characters. That just means that some of these background characters are better.
Betty Butter bought some butter. But she said this butter's bitter. Some of these characters are better than the butter that Betty bought.
Exactly. Exactly. And this particular character is no...
exception to the rule?
No exception to the rule.
So real quick, just to tell everybody what's going on, if you have not figured it out yet, this is going to be another episode in our ongoing series about the secondary and or tertiary characters in the Wheel of Time that we feel don't necessarily get as much page time, don't necessarily get as much love as, you know, the Emmonsfield Five and company and a number of other characters. And we want to take some time and give them the credit that they are due, because as Josh said, some of them are just amazeballs characters that the story could not be done without. And so we want to recognize that and recognize just how much intense thought and scrutiny and all of the above that Robert Jordan and Brandon Sanderson put into these characters that rounds out the world so well. So with that intro in mind.
And I'm going to put this out there. If somebody feels so inclined or bored to do so and wants to create a cool, nifty, funny kind of background breakdown, little short, like let's say like 10 to 15 second clip to throw in, we will let you choose two characters that you consider background characters that we will cover within 6 months of us getting that from you.
Excellent. So, awesome. I love that. Tonight's character is significant to me for one very large reason.
You and Andrew.
And it's because I love to hate on the Red Aja. Who doesn't love to hate on the Red Aja? Come on, they're easy targets. They're people who are just so lost. They had a good purpose in the beginning, and they kind of got dumb with everything. But that's not to say that there aren't some people within the Red Aja who are absolutely astounding and amazing in every way. And tonight we talk about, I think you already know who I'm going to say, but tonight we talk about Pavara Tazanovni. And Pavara is one of the coolest.
That's a Novni.
Tazanovni. Pavara Tazanovni.
Is that a regular knee? Nah. That's a Novni.
that's a Tasanovni.
So here's the thing. Pavara represents, you know, like the movie trope when, you know, good cop goes into a corrupt town and they immediately start recruiting. And one of the things they do is they go, I'm going to take you on my team. Why me, super cop? Super cop says, because your family was killed by the bad guys, and I know you can't be bought. This is Pavara.
This is just the plot of how Batman got Robin.
If we're going to go with Pavara is Robin,
the answer is all.
I'm okay with that.
Literally the plot of Batman and Robin, the movie with like George Clooney and the anatomically incorrect bat suit.
Put the nipple on the bat suit. Or pin the nipple on the bat suit.
There you go. I love it.
Sounds like a Pavara's good game this year.
Because not only can she not be bought, but she's also very resourceful. She's very smart. She is very tenacious. And she doesn't have a lot of the same blinders or biases that a lot of the other Aes Sedai have, which allows her to be much more intelligent when facing crisis situations.
She's also considered very uncommon amongst the Red Aja, which yes, of course is the Aja she is from. She is described as generally friendly and outgoing, which is a trait that when you take a statistical analysis / survey / overview of the Red Aja that we see is not something that is common to the Red Aja.
Yeah. Most Reds another thing that is known for their about Pavara and the rest of, or the vast majority of the rest of her Red sisters, is that she takes her job incredibly seriously. And if she goes ahead and meets a man who can channel, or is sent to capture a man who can channel, she is going to get the job done. She's absolutely going to get that job done.
Yes.
But men in general, not something that she's just generally annoyed at all the time.
Right.
Orders, she's considered having one of her own.
You know, she was
things like that, where it doesn't seem to be an issue with men in general, only a very specific subset of men and only for a very specific reason.
Well, she has a
tragedy. She was actually censured for saying, I could use a warder. I could use a warder. Right? Who wouldn't want a warder? That shit's dope.
I mean, so she has a very tragic backstory.
Oh,
as
very tragic.
All of the favorite characters throughout history do. here's the first thing that, until I really looked more at before, I didn't realize. So when the book starts, we're in, is it the end of 998 NE?
Correct.
Yeah, Pavara was born in 839 NE, making her 161 years old. Cue Aes Sedai agelessness and the benefits of channeling the one power. As long as you're not channeling Sidene for the majority of her life.
What do you mean? I channeled Sidene. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't even see any side effects. I mean, I just do it all the time. And
it's clean.
It's wonderful. It's clean. It's happy. Everybody loves it. Everybody loves it. Y'all got any more of that Sidene?
Let me pour you this glass of wine. But yeah, I mean,
anyway, like, sorry.
So she goes to the White Tower when she's a young girl in 855 NE. And I say young girl, like she's in her teens when she goes. And she spent 6 years as a novice and then 5 as an accept, and then was raised to the Shaw in 866 NE. That's pretty good. That's not bad. You've been there since 855, and within 11 years, you make Aes Sedai. You're doing something fucking right.
Yeah.
But
because she's
while she was a novice, and this is so key to so much of Pavara's motivations and what we see of her throughout the rest of the series. When she was a novice, her entire family murdered by dark friends.
Yep.
And we see that she has little ivory statues of her entire family that she, you know, keeps around where she lives and that kind of stuff as an homage to them, as a memory of them. And because of this,
and as a reminder,
she has an incredible, beyond the, like, not including the cult aspect, but a White Cloak level hatred for dark friends. So from a very early age, we're talking about from at least, 861 NE, at the very least, assuming that they were killed right before she became accepted, literally the day before, since 861, she's been focused on there are terrible people, there are evil people there, they are the enemy, that's who we should really be focused on fighting and destroying. And it shapes so much of her character, and it works out so well for us as readers because it creates a character that we love, because it's not just a, I want power, it's a, I want to destroy what's truly evil and bad in this world.
Yep.
It's true. That's part of what I was going for with my metaphor earlier of she's a person who cannot be bought. There's no circumstance in which Pavara ever feels sympathy and or sides with a friend of the dark. That's just not happening. Mm-hmm. She is a beautiful example of someone who has a strong moral character, a strong integrity. And she says, look, this is my job. This is what I do. And I'm proud of what I do. And the things that she has been censured for within the Red Aja are not things that other sisters and other Ajahs would be censured for. For example, she was censured for saying, hey, a warder might be a really great idea, like especially hunting men who can channel. Yep. It would really help to have a super soldier by our side.
Yeah.
Red Aja didn't like that. She said, why are we not making friends with people outside our Aja? It seems very silly that we stick to ourselves and we're not, you know, forming relationships. It seems like it would be very helpful, especially in a situation with a false dragon who's raised an army, to have a few green sisters with us to help take out a false dragon or a man who can channel. And so Pavara, that's where I was going.
It's almost earlier. Like she's, we're smart. All part of the same team, so it's one team, one fight.
Exactly.
She's and not internally limited. We can make fun of each other, but if anybody outside makes fun, we fucking destroy them. Oh, that sounds vaguely familiar.
She's not limited by a lot of the biases that other Aes Sedai have because of, you know, thousands of years of tradition. She is one who's bubbled to the surface as one who is capable and smart. She stands as an example of what all women of the White Tower should be. And it's people like her that helps the White Tower be victorious at Tarmogoyf.
I would agree. Like it's just the character traits that make the person, right? That's what we look at so much, and that's one of the things. Like, you can meet a character inertly. Like, so let's take someone like Egwene, for example. We meet Egwene. We meet this girl that has only ever known the village she's in, what's important to the village, and because of her desire to travel and go outside the village, she learns about the rest of the world, and it really gives her a world view, which I think is critical for if you can get it to get it. Because there are things you will not impossibly see the same way whenever you come back from that world view. There's things from UAE that going around and seeing shanties, I cannot see the same way when I get back here, both comparative and completely opposite. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it doesn't necessarily create new characteristics. Is it reshapes and reforms and molds and purifies some characteristics of a person. Like Egwene, we see her just become so much more steadfast in doing what's right and being willing, just like she was in Amon's field, as she was as a wisdom apprentice, to stand up for what she felt was right. And Pravara is one of those that just from a very young age, and especially what we're talking about with Aes Sedai ages, very early on has a die-hard motivation for what she's there for, what she's meant to do. And I would not bat an eye if someone channeled Robert Jordan's ethereal form and was like, Pravara is the way she is because chose the Red Aja because she wanted to be an Aja that can make as much difference as she could, and that's what she thought it was.
Well, also, this is really interesting to think about again, where we have a character like Cadsuane, who literally has been alive since fucking the last major war and shit like that, and has seen everything, and has seen all of everything that the world has to offer, if you will. And so we have this like sort of perspective on what Aes Sedai can live to and things like that. And so it almost belittles just how old Pravara is. Like, when she chose her Aja, what was the world like? We have no idea in some ways, because we're starting the story in 998, which definitely means that, you know, we have an idea of the world. People talk about the world, and people who are, you know, older. Swan Sanchi gives us a lot into the way that the world has been for a while. Moraine gives us a lot into the way that the world has been, you know, characters.
The world has been the way of the world.
And then, you know, you have older characters like Pedra Nile and Gareth Brand and whatnot, who give you sort of like a mildly more sort of mortal. Because again, the Aes Sedai are just older than most people can live. So they even also give you a little bit of an idea of how the way the world has worked for years.
I did it.
You really did. But again, it's so interesting to think of. I mean, 70 years ago, we had, you know, whites only and blacks only signs.
Yeah.
All over the place in this country. Like 100 years ago, we were, you know, there was a bunch of stuff that was completely different. Bones didn't even exist, let alone like you could walk around with the computer in your pocket. Like, all of this is just ridiculous shit.
Literally, almost everything we take for granted as a part of normal life did not exist 100 years ago.
Right, exactly. And so just kind of trying to sort of imagine. Now, granted, I will admit that nowadays in our modern society, I think that things have also sped up. Things like technology does actually come out faster. But there were still lots of innovations, you know, as I said, even 50, 100, 150 years ago. And when you're talking about Pravara, it was 165 years old.
Can you imagine?
Like, what the fuck was the world like when she was asked what Aja she wants to be? Was there like three false dragons all running around being like, hey, I want to fuck shit up? And she was like, great, I'm going to be a red so I can go catch them. Like,
if we were going to put this into perspective, okay, when if Pravara were alive right now, today, mm-hmm. we're going to go back to 1900.
Yeah.
And she was 20.
Yeah.
She was born in 1880.
Basically. Yeah.
I mean, like yeah, it's 13 amazing... years. 13 years before we even come into the story as readers, she was a sitter for the Red Aja.
Yes. Yeah.
So, oh so Pavara's amazing. The first time we meet her, we meet her as someone who has been tasked with hunting down Dark Sisters.
Yep.
We don't like to say Black Aja, but it's the first time
searching for proof of treachery. Yes. You must go and find the proof that this even exists.
And it's the first time that...
Oh God, I'm so sorry.
The Black Tower...
Technically, she said she's tasked to search for treachery in the White Tower,
right,
which she interprets as a search for the Black Aja.
Well, and I think that she's actually tasked with finding treachery to root out Saladar Sisters.
Oh, wait, sorry, I'm wrong. That was Sion Harriman that was tasked with finding treachery, and she enlists Pavara to help her.
Yes,
that's right.
But
that's
I think
we got to do the work for Mershadi and make sure we have the facts right because he's on vacation.
Right? And I think Sian actually goes to Pavara and says, "I think this means Saladar Sisters." And Pavara goes, "I mean, it means more than that, young lady." And she's like, "Truth, very, very much truth." And then they start going on this campaign to find anything.
Because this happens in
that's a good point.
Crown of Salt.
That's a good point.
I mean, here's another thing. Like, Ciane and her didn't just used to be friends 5 years ago.
Oh yeah,
they were friends when she wasn't accepted.
Yeah,
and when she became Aes Sedai of the Red Aja, she was forced to give up this friendship. This has been many fucking decades.
Yes, and Ciane was almost kind of came to her out of like, I have no idea where to go. I know Pavara hates treachery. I know I can't trust anyone.
Which makes sense, because Ciane used to be friends.
Aja. Yes.
Yes, correct.
I know I used to be friends with Pavara. I'm going to, while acting on the Amarlin's orders, air quotes, I'm going to approach the sister I think is A, incapable of treachery, and B, who will pursue this cause as passionately as possible.
Yep.
And they kind of super cop up and
they very much super cop up. I love, so honestly, when we go back to the beginning of this story, we jump into Emmons Field, we run away, we go to a bunch of different, you know, places in the first book, and a lot of things happen, and we never actually make it to the White Tower, which is where Moraine is ostensibly taking them right from the very beginning. She wants to bring Egwene into the fold. She wants to bring Nynaeve into the fold, and she knows that the best place for the Dragon Reborn to basically wait out Tarmogoyf very well may be the White Tower. So she's just bringing them all there. Most of them don't make it there, but we start to get these scenes of Egwene, Nynaeve, and Elaine in the White Tower in book two. We also get a fun scene of Matt in the White Tower where he beats the shit out of the princes, which is great. But yes. We start to get these White Tower scenes, and I will admit that once Swan Sanche, Lyanna, and Min leave the White Tower, it becomes the most obnoxious fucking place to read. Actually, that's not true. Failgate is still worse, but it gets bad. Like, I do not enjoy most of the White Tower segments of the books up until they get to this point. When they get to this point and Ciane is tasked with finding treachery in the White Tower and she gets Pavara on board and we start going into the bowels of the White Tower with the Othrod just fucking sisters up. Like, it becomes a great storyline.
It's the bias. It's really. Again, it goes back to her brilliance. The bias says, do not touch the Othrod. That is a Tyrann Grail. And unless you have a need and permission, you do not touch it, especially a Tyrion Grail that is so important to the White Tower. And she's like, well, we have a need, and we kind of have.
And also, I'm giving myself permission because I used to be a sitter, so fuck everybody else.
Well, we were told by any means necessary.
Yeah, exactly. So under the laws of the White Tower, presumably any means necessary means that we just have tacit permission for whatever we need to do.
So she then figures out that you can unbind as well as bind. So then they start, by order of operations, saying, okay, we want people to come down here one at a time, and we're going to start recruiting people to our cause. They root out a couple of spies from Saladar, and they're like, ha, 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 you got to stop telling Saladar lies. And, you know, they almost kill a sister.
They almost kill a sister. Oh, Kavara, my God. Kavara
discovers the flaw in the Oath Rod.
It's so good.
Oh,
good. I love it.
And then here's the part that's terrifying. They find the first black sister. They never saw her. They thought she was from Saladar and a spy. You're part of a rebel alliance and a spy. Take her away. No, it was so much deeper than that. And it turns out there is a Black Aja presence. And this is the first time that they find concrete proof, because they take the Oath Rod, release all oaths, make them retake the oaths, and then they say, are you a sister of the Black Aja?
Yes! Well, and again, the crazy part is that when the Black Sisters retake their new oaths to the Shadow, after taking oaths on the Oath Rod, their original oaths on the Oath Rod are broken.
Yes.
They don't have to follow any of the oaths of the Oath Rod. They can kill, they can make weapons that are with the
power. They can lie.
They can lie.
You have forged a Black Aja sister? It will kill.
But yeah, so when they bring these sisters down and they're like, all right, release your oaths on the Oath Rod, the Black Sister's like, great, I don't give a shit, I release my oaths, already done. And then they're now like, re-swear. All right, cool, now re-swear all of your oaths plus a new one.
Can I ask a question? Is this for all of us? Like, I kind of feel sick. I got the choice. Right.
Well, and I love how, again, this is one of those moments that really shows off just how, again, smart, logical, you know, aware of the world, all of those different things that Kavara, and I want to say one other sister, though I cannot actually remember who it is, so I'm not going to try. But they've already recruited a bunch of different sisters from a bunch of different Ajas, most of them who used to be old sitters, seemingly.
I mean, or at think least about like,
four or five of them used to be old sitters. And they find this black sister, and like three of the sitters just fall off their fucking seats and are like, no, it can't be true. The black Aja can't possibly exist. You must be joking. Like, logically, it was gonna happen. Shut up and get back on your seats.
And to add just the little bit of an extra lemon juice to this paper cut, it was not one of the sisters from Saladar.
No, not the at first all. I mean, none of the sisters they from discovered. Saladar are Black Aja.
No, yeah, they are. They are. There Somewhere. Are absolutely Black Aja sisters in Saladar. Yes.
There are Black Aja sisters in Saladar, but none of them get sent back to the tower.
Oh, yes. No, yes.
None of the ones that they find that are from Saladar are Black Aja, even though there are Black Aja sisters in Saladar.
Yes.
Think of Kavara's mentality. While the rest of the Aes Sedai are like, the Black Aja is a myth. It's impossible. There's no way. Kavara is the one running around being like, I'm going to fuck up the Council of 13. It's going to happen. I'm going to find them. We're going to find
the Council of 13. I'm about to end this woman's whole career.
We're going to make her pay for what she did.
Everybody I have a else. Very specific set of skills made over a very long career of being a sitter and a sister. You are and Black so, Aja. I will so find
you. Pavara then finds herself in a very precarious position.
Oh, 100%.
Pavara's in a
precarious position. Oh, you mean position. Thanks to Tarna Fear?
I mean, you, thanks Andrew. To the fact that now she has absolutely...
Thank you, Google Resources, for giving me names. All right, Emily, thank you so much for hanging out.
Yes, replay,
yes,
watch
yes, the beard. Yes, please. Watch the beard.
Love you.
And the goatee.
You're amazing.
The goatee, it's very nice.
The goat. The
thank
goat.
You.
Honestly,
and Daniel, you can see it better now because I actually got a haircut and now I don't have like pounds of hair yes. extra.
Daniel with goatee versus Daniel we saw with beard. 10 times so better. The goatee fits you so much better than the beard you had. That's not to say you couldn't rock a beard.
Yeah, I'd have to do a lot more work on it, but I agree with you and I appreciate it.
So
your advancements are noticed, Ashiman, and they are appreciated. The wine will not find your chambers today.
Excellent. So, that's
Pavara finds herself
sleep well, in most likely poison you in the morning.
That's right. That's right. So Pavara finds herself in a precarious situation because not only has she been tasked to find the Black Aja, but she, well, not only has she been tasked to find treachery, but she finds the Black Aja. And when she starts interrogating these women about who their compatriots are, they have no idea. But they know there are a lot of them. Yeah.
Each sister knows two other sisters. And that's it.
And
there's this whole chain of sisters all around, you know, who know each other, but they don't actually know more than the two, the one on their left and the one on their right, if you will, in this chain.
Which speaks to the intellect of just the shadow. Like,
yeah,
I know I've made the argument of the past, and I still make the same argument that the Dark One is an absolute epitome of what it is to be a shitty leader. But... the way they conduct business in secrecy.
Yes.
Just
it's beautiful.
Oh, it's so
the
good.
CIA could learn 1,001 things.
So she compartmentalize, she's heading up this
compartmentalize,
effort.
Compartmentalize. Need to know.
Well, and this leads to an interesting situation because she's leading up this effort, and now she goes, I can't trust anyone. I will not trust anyone who has not sworn on the oath rod in front of me.
You don't cut your life in half in front of me. Is it even real?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Stupid. And so then we get another interesting thing. Because now Cian has been tasked to report back to Elida on their progress. And Cian is like, oh, yeah, well, we're, you know... not
well,
finding
we found
anybody.
A couple of Saladarian sisters.
But, you know, that's it. Because she's under orders by Pavara to not say shit.
And Elida's like, here's my report, Keeper of the Chronicles. Keeper of
exactly.
my soul.
Exactly.
Oh, they found this. Well, let's execute them and apply these changes.
Well, and I also love how very, very early on, we never actually see it happen, but we do actually get a line where one of the reasons, again,
like
Pavara
is a Stephen King line or like a line in the books?
No, like just a...
what?
Yeah. No, is the... We hear them talk about it later that, again, Cian is tasked with this. She goes to Pavara because she truly believes that there's no chance that Pavara is a treasonous sister. Then they get together. They start finding
treasonous
stuff out.
Swallop.
They do their original methods. Finally, they figure out the oath rod and that it works and that it's actually the best thing to go ahead and do what they need to do. And we get this line that Cian and Pavara do it to each other. And now they know.
Yes.
Goddamn sure.
That
they can actually
creator damn sure.
Creator light sure.
For light blinded sure that that they can 100% trust each other, even more than they had originally thought. But again, it's one of those wonderful moments where you don't see it happen in the pages, but you know that just the fucking...
Well, it's a reuniting of friendship, right?
Yeah, that relief they were friends. And that justification and that, or the vindication and whatnot.
Yeah.
Of seeing going to Pavara and just knowing in her bones and then getting that confirmation on the oath rod. And she's just like,
it's, yeah, absolutely. It's a terrible position to be in when you can't trust anyone. It's a terrible place to be.
Yeah.
And so to have that reassurance is absolutely fantastic. And I believe there's even a passage where they talk about how giddy they were, you know, unbinding from the oath rod, having fun with it. And then, you know, rebinding and they have to kind of collect themselves again.
Yeah.
So it's good. I like it. And as information starts sifting up to Elida and what's her bucket? Alviarin, thank you. Alviarin starts to put two and two together and realizes Pavara's smart. We need Pavara away from the White Tower.
And so what do they endorse? Get
rid of her. She needs to be gone.
Why don't you take a little trip with these other sisters we don't necessarily like?
To this farm where there's got to be, you know, six, I don't know.
Max.
At the most, six is kind of, you know, where men who can channel. And Pavara, you're a red sister, right? This is what you do, right? Well, you need to go and you need to scout and you need to subjugate the Black Tower. This is the task you've been given. You must subjugate the Black Tower and bring them to heel and bring them to, you know, our beck and call. You need them to make sure that they know that they stand in the shadow of the White Tower. And Pavara's like,
is that why we're the Black Tower?
Yeah, no.
Because we stand in the shadow of the White Tower, just no sunlight.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
It's a no for me, dog.
I was kidding. It was a yoke.
So Pavara's kind of like, okay, awkward timing, but I see
your point. Little did they know.
Upon arrival. I don't know what that was.
I'm not supposed to be there. The Black Tower shall not be subjugated so easily.
That's right.
I hate resetting up my setup because all my settings get fucked every time.
I love it. I love that they show up. And so there's two groups that go there, and Pavara shows up, like, quote, diplomatically. Yes. And she literally just knocks on the door and says,
hey, do you have some sisters in there that came here before and and didn't return to where they were supposed to be? Like, maybe
we're here to take some Ashaman as warders.
Yeah.
And Tame is like, yeah. Sure, come on in. Any of them willing to be bonded to an Aes Sedai? Cool. Yeah, sure, they can do that.
And Liu Gain says, I like sisters.
Liu Gain's like got himself an Aes Sedai harem at this point.
Basically, I think he's got three.
Yeah.
By the time they show up?
At least two.
Yeah, definitely two. I want to say three, but I'm not 100% on the third one. But definitely two.
So she shows up. They've got this. They've got this agreement. She's going to bond some Ashaman, but they want to take their time, right? They want to be smart about it. They don't want to just rock in and bond anybody who's not important. But they know at the same time that they're not going to be able to bond people who are super important. So she wants to take her time with it. She's like, you know, I'll take up residency here. I'll observe. And it is super cool, again, to see her way of thinking about things, her way of saying, how are we going to handle this? Because we have a specific mission. And we've already lost sisters, and my job is to make sure that we don't lose any more. She is able to start identifying the division in the Black Tower.
And who's early on.
Yeah. She's able to start seeing that division. And so she starts kind of gravitating towards the one side. And who does she find as one of the leaders or one of the standouts of the Ashaman on the side of the light?
Bay, Bay, Bay. She finds Bay.
None other than our Bay. Andral
the Gateway Master himself.
And you know what's fun about this? You know what I love about this is she meets Andral in his leather shop. She worked in a leather shop as a child.
Oh yeah, she meets him in his leather shop.
And so it's kind of like
is he decked out in full leathers?
He's like, I'm a leather daddy. What's up?
Is he like, you've been a bad girl?
Yeah, girl.
Continue.
It was her uncle. Was a leather worker. And so she kind of gets some nostalgia. She sees a man there who knows how to use his hands. She sees a man who's thoughtful, who is also smart. And she starts to say, this might be a man that I'm willing to bond, but he's not a full Ashaman. He's just a soldier. So she starts to hesitate. Also,
because again, this is one of those moments where you see that, like, the differences and also the similarities between the Black Tower and the White Tower, because Taim has effectively just tossed Andral aside because he's not actually very strong in the power. Now, little does Taim know that he has passed over the greatest gateway maker ever in the history of the world. But again, he just kind of goes, oh, you're not actually that strong. You're not going to be part of my coalition.
Exactly.
Whereas Loghain goes, I like this guy, Andral. He's fun. He makes good things out of leather. He's a smarty. I feel like he's good at gateways just inherently. I don't know why.
That shows the difference between like someone that thinks like Loghain and Egwene people that think like the White Tower has forever and Taim. I only want the powerful versus I want everybody and there's always a use for you.
There is a value in every human.
And Pavara sees this value like like we would say Egwene does.
Yep.
She sees immediately. And the only reason that holds her back is that she is on a mission from the White Tower. She does still have allegiance to the White Tower. And she is under orders to gain powerful allies. And she doesn't yet see his full value. She just sees a guy who's, pretty weak in the power, but who's pretty smart and has gained quite a loyal following.
And then she teaches.
Yes.
She is the one that explains to Andral how people are being turned.
Because she notices a few of her Aes Sedai who were first saying, we're getting the fuck out. We've got to go. And she's like, we can't leave without Taim's permission. Then all of a sudden one day everybody's like, no, you know what? It's cool here. Let's
live here. It's nice here.
The greater good.
The greater good.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary. There's some greater good that happens. I mean, it doesn't gloss over the fact that in a panic post their first experience linking, that Pavara in a panic bonds Andral against his will.
Yes.
And his response is,
well, screw you. I'm going to bond you back.
And it does the same thing. And this causes, like, I think the
jinx.
First
bond jinx
door again because it's too echoey for me. I can hear it in my headphones.
Where Andrew's going with this is
you going to bond me?
I'm a harder force. It's hard right to scoot back.
All right. But I mean, and that's what happens. It creates the first that we see, I believe, in the series, double bond.
Yes.
Correct. It's the first co-bonding, the first one
that we know of.
But it creates an unexpected merging of their minds, allowing each one of them to view and experience each other's memories and thoughts.
Yes.
This is incredible. Like this immediately, like having now watched Pacific Rim, it makes me think of Pacific Rim.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's a good one.
That, honestly,
together, getting, we can move the Titan.
Watching Pacific Rim, I legitimately thought about the double bond when I was actually like
Angela. And I especially, love that. That's good.
Which legitimately made me think, like, we don't ever see it in the books, but like, is it possible that like they just reject each other? Like if you tried to double bond in the Wheel of Time, could you have two people that just weren't actually compatible at all and they just wouldn't bond?
That's fucking a fun.
I think you'd have varying degrees of the effects of the bond.
Sure.
That's a fun. I think the bond does have a fair degree of compatibility because I think the bond we see between Nynaeve and Lan seems to be a much stronger bond because of their relationship, their connection than between Moraine and Lan.
So Pavara demonstrates something that we've talked about on the show before. Now, as a general rule, this is something that has been discussed time and time again. And that is that men who wield Sidin, or those who wield Sidin, can generally channel larger amounts of Sayadin than women can channel Sayadar. But women are usually much more deft and have more dexterity control. And more control than men do. Now a lot of people, you know, we've seen a lot of people triggered by this. Well, why are men stronger? That's not even fair. Blah, 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 blah. And I think that Brandon Sanderson and Robert Jordan wrote Pavara specifically to countermand that, because there's a scene where they come to collect, I believe they come to collect Andral, and she kind of gets the drop on these two or three Ashaman, and in a matter of seconds she's got two of them shielded and wrapped in bonds of air, and Andral's like over there struggling with the third guy, and she's like, kablow! She just nails him too, and he goes, damn, that was impressive. And she goes,
babe, help!
What the hell do you think we've been doing in the White Tower for the last 3,000 years? And he's like, okay, don't underestimate Pavara. Noted! And she
don't
just
piss
straight
off
up
my water wife.
It is literally her going, ain't no thing. This is what I've trained to do.
Well, also,
God.
One of the fun parts about that is this is one of the moments where the perfect person is there. Because again, not only have the White Tower been doing this for 300 years or 3,000 years, sorry. Pavara's read Aja. This is the only thing that she's doing for 3,000 years.
It's like that moment, the guy that has only ever practiced like free throw jump shots
is
the one that's fouled and gets to do it. Yeah. It's just like, trained my whole life.
Exactly.
These two shots.
Or the guy who has trained for 10,000 hours how to hit the bullseye on the dartboard. And he gets into a bet with a one percenter.
It's like the dude, the fastest gun dude. You've seen the dude who can make literally two shots sound like one.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah.
With a single action revolver.
That dude's insane.
So funny. Anyway,
but I mean,
happens. Perfect person to be there for this moment.
So all this happens, and Pavara and Andral, they're going through, they're figuring out where everything is, and they've got a group that's like, hey. Andral's going to lead the resistance. And Pavara's like, fuck yeah, my man is.
Andral's like, wait. I don't want to.
Yeah. I didn't agree to this. Stop it. What are you doing?
They find the dungeons that Taim has been using to turn Ashaman to the shadow. and immediately they're fucked up. Like every other time you discover something amazingly telling about the shadow, you're immediately fucked up. They get captured. The roof is brought down on their heads, and Pravara wakes up heavily dosed with fork root. And there's a dream spike active. This is where we find out there's a dream spike going on at the Black Tower. Despite the dream spike, Andra opens a gateway small enough or large enough where he can talk through and contracts people of the Two Rivers militia, I suppose, at this point, to come in and fight. And then the dream spike goes down, they get free, and Andra goes like, okay, y'all are going to attack the Two Rivers men? Well, I'm going to play an Uno reverse card. And as soon as your attack leaves and your weaves go forward, I'm going to open a gateway in front of them so they hit you in your own asshole.
He opens a gateway inside the boundaries of a dream spike. He literally does the impossible.
That's far more epic than the tactic of Uno reversing.
And yeah. And Pavara like, is a dream spike's main purpose
when it is active in the waking world is to prevent teleporting, gateways, skimming. That is its main function. And Andral just goes,
that's a cute
might,
dream
it might be it might be there. Tiny. It might be tiny, but you know what? It's gonna get us to the finish.
That's a cute dream spike you got there. Would be a shame if somebody channeled around it.
Yes.
Yeah, I will admit that this is one of those moments where I love what happens. I'm not a huge fan of no explanation of how, because this feels a little bit like fucking, you know, Superman picking up an entire island. It feels a little bit like fucking kryptonite.
Oh, yeah. I like yours but better.
At the same time.
Wait, what does that say about me? I'm confused.
All right.
But at the same time, I mean, I do love the events because, again, I know that at least in his head and possibly in his notes, you know, there was an explanation. It is known, if you will, somewhere by someone how Andral did it. We just don't get that in the books.
Yeah,
and that's one of the things that I love about trusting, you know, these authors and trusting the story, because we do get an explanation so often that even when you don't, I'm always just like, that's dope. And of course, again, back to the character that we're talking about.
It's a trope of the good in fantasy.
Yes. It absolutely is.
I mean, because Matt, stilling and gentling can never be healed. Nynaeve doesn't.
Oh, wait.
Channeling and opening a gateway, not just opening a gateway while under a dream.
Cannot be done.
Impossible. Andral, the guy who is super weak to everybody else, but has this incredible speciality, this lowercase t talent, as we have established, does it. And this is where like so much of the power of individuality comes out. So it's an interesting dichotomy between Robert Jordan's focus on the everybody work together and as a group, we're all stronger. But also, look at how much incredible stuff individuals can do. And this and we don't get the opportunity to see if this is something, of course, that Andral could do before the bond, or if it is a product that is made possible after the bond and the extra resiliency that the bonds grant.
But
which makes you sit there and look at like, why have I said I never bonded each other in the first place?
Yeah. I mean, because wise ones presumably have.
Fusion. that hurt my shoulder, actually.
I think my favorite part about this is, again, going back to the character that is the subject of our talk.
No, we're gonna
once Andral does this, he goes ahead and like makes this gateway and he calls in the Two Rivers men and they save the day and everything's, and Pavara is just walking through the whole rest of this, fighting, helping save them, helping save herself, all of this different stuff. And
there is she's done just, for 160
you could,
years.
You could drown a toddler in her panties the whole time after Andral makes this gateway through a dream spike. Cause she's just like, Oh, Bay. Bay, what did you just do? You did what?
Yes.
I just heard a new string of English words I never thought I would ever hear in my life.
That is technically an Archer.
You could quote. Drown a toddler in her panties.
That you is never watched an Archer?
It's I did not have. Come up with that one. Yeah, that's Pam. It's Pam.
There's been forever since I've watched Archer.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time. And I think it's like
as soon as you said Archer, I'm like, that sounds like some shit I would see.
There it is.
Okay. But she, again, though, you have a room filled with men who can channel, dark sisters. I believe Pavara is the only sister who is not a dark friend or turned to the shadow at this point in time in the room.
I believe you are correct.
Which gives her an advantage. I don't think she actually because takes nobody can
sisters.
Yeah.
Which with gives her an advantage. When they discover this, but yeah.
Which gives her an advantage because nobody can see her weaves. But at the same time, she's also drugged with fork root and she still manages to like contribute.
Yes.
And it's amazing. She is instrumental in freeing Loghain. She's instrumental in forging an alliance, a tentative alliance with the Black Tower to represent themselves as a united front at Tarmon Gaiden, which
I don't know. I don't actually think that is tentative. I think that one's pretty strong. Again, the tentative comes after Tarmon Gaiden's over, but like, honestly, Pavara is like, bitch, we are doing this. And Andril and Loghain just go, yeah, no, totally. Are you kidding me? Like we were.
Well, but that's where I say tentative. Say because I think Andril and Loghain are like, okay, we'll play ball for now.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, no. So yeah.
Oh no, no. Andril course, and Loghain look at Pavara and just, you're the best around.
Dreamspike never gonna keep you down.
But yeah, and then I mean again. We sort of at that point get through like Pavara's specific story stuff. She absolutely does other things. She is instrumental in Tarmon Gaiden, as is, you know, the rest of the people that she is working with from the Black Tower and all of that. But that is sort of where Pavara's story, like the very specific things that she does, kind of comes to a close, is once they leave the Black Tower.
The rest is pretty much
advisatory.
Exactly.
Well,
yes.
They do sort of set up a mission to try and recover the seals from Taim, but that's like it becomes such a small story.
Yes.
That you know
that's kind of what I was saying.
This is somebody that has paid their dues.
Yes.
She has hunted. Not hunted. She has discovered the Black Aja in cold hard proof. She has attacked them for as much and as long as she can. She still follows her duties, believing in the what the White Tower stands for, much like Galad with the White Cloaks.
Yes.
It's trapped in the Black Tower, frees the Black Tower, and reveals their darkest secret to
Andril. What would Pavara do? She would do her duty.
And then, I mean, after someone has had that much of an epic effect on the rest of the second half of the series.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, okay, knowing how many hard hitters or heavy hitters coming, it's like, well, what more can she do?
Yeah, no, I agreed. That's
I would say, without Pavara, we would not have a victorious outcome at
Tarmon. Oh, no. The Black Tower.
I would say without Pavara, we wouldn't have a Black Tower.
Destroyed. Yeah.
Exactly.
It would just have imploded on itself and or just gone completely shadow.
So for anybody who wants to say that we hate the Red Aja, which we do. I mean, we love to hate on the Red Aja. But we do acknowledge talent.
And oh, absolutely.
We do acknowledge action. And we have the Red Aja to thank for the continuance and survival of the Black Tower.
Well, and again, I want to throw out there, I don't necessarily want to get political or anything like that. I don't think that's positive. But again, Aja does not define you, just like every other thing in the world. Pavara gets judged on the content of her character and the things that she does in the series, not on where she comes from or what nationality she is or what Aja she is or anything like that. Again, as Josh just said, blows your mind a little bit to think about it, but the greatest haven of male channelers in the next age is absolutely won over by a sister from an Aja that ostensibly hates male channelers. Like, never judge a book by its cover. Look at the person. Look at what they are doing. Look at what the human being is doing. Never assume you know someone just because they're from an Aja. Never
and
assume
also you recognize know
because of you know that kind of overarching stereotypical thing.
And also recognize that she becomes the badass that she is and does what she does by doing something.
Yes.
She doesn't sit back and bitch about how something is wrong or unfair or something just isn't right. Something doesn't feel right. She does.
Age old tradition of
if you have a problem, come at it with a solution. Don't just bitch about it.
Exactly.
Yep.
And she's amazing. And you guys are amazing. And we appreciate you being here. We appreciate you listening in. We appreciate your mutual love for Pavara, because we know that you guys also know that she is amazing. It takes a powerful woman to tame Bay. So, you know, here she is. She's amazing. Thank you so much for joining us on our.
Remember that. It takes a powerful woman to tame you.
That's right, buddy. Don't settle for any bard of time.
Speaking of things that are tame, if you are looking for information on the Wheel of Time series and you have not finished it and are looking for things that don't ruin your experience, make sure you head over to thegreatblight.com and check out the fantastic wiki that is there. And here is the plug for that.
All right, guys. Well, as we all know here at the Black Tower podcast, not everything that is touched by the shadow is lost. And that is totally true for thegreatblight.com. Now, Nablus and his team have done an amazing job of going ahead and putting this together, and it is possibly the greatest resource for those of us here in the Wheel of Time community. First off, you have this awesome homepage with posts from a bunch of your favorites. You can go and check out new things that you've never seen before, keep up to date on content creators that you already follow, and just go ahead and dip as many of your toes or your entire foot as you want into all of the different things that are going on. Now, also here, there is probably the best list of content creators. There's YouTubers, podcasters, artists, musicians, just about everything you could want. And if you don't see your favorite content creator there, that's fine. There is an application included in the site to go ahead and make sure that your favorite content creator is part of it. Just encourage them to fill out the application and Nablus will be in touch. Now, after you've gone ahead and checked that out, you're going to want to pop over to the ever-expanding library here at the Great Blight, because it is something particularly special. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone ahead and joined a fandom only to find out halfway through my first read, looking up a character, that they die in the second to last book, which sucks. It always is very disappointing when you can't look up anything interesting about what you've read for fear of things that you haven't read yet. But they've fixed the problem over at thegreatblight.com. It is a spoiler-free wiki. That's right. That means that if you've only read up to Path of Daggers and you really want to find out what in the world you missed about Egwene because there's something you just don't understand, or if you want to get more information about Rand because you think he's super cool, you don't need to read past Path of Daggers, and it's not going to ruin you on A Memory of Light before you've gotten there. You'll know exactly where to stop. You'll know exactly where you are. And once you're done with that, make sure that you go ahead and help the site out, the content creators out, everything like that, with the beta nature of it. Up here at the top, you're going to see a problem, have a suggestion button. That is specifically for if you have any issues with the site or if you have any feedback. It's only something that we can make better with feedback and with help from the community. So come on down, check it out, grab a couple of our videos or grab a couple of our podcasts, and we'd love to see you there.
And once you have finished with thegreatblight.com, make sure you go out and check out the ever-evolving, the ever-amazing new creations by Jen, creating all of our, and I say our as Wheel of Time content creators, because more and more are joining. Yes. The amazing frosty mugs, the amazing everything. So go and make sure you check out New Creations by Jen. And here,
sniper shot glasses.
Yep. And here I'm going to show you more.
Everybody loves merchandise. And one of the best possible places to go and get yourself some really dope Wheel of Time inspired and themed merchandise is, of course, newcreationsbyjen.com. So whenever you go to newcreationsbyjen.com, whether you're looking for just Wheel of Time inspired stuff or not, you can find all kinds of really cool merchandise and goodie opportunities, all the way from gifts for your family, friends, significant others, whoever have you, newborns, children, toddlers, women, men, adults, anybody that wants anything, you can find something for them for sure on New Creations by Jen. Now, most of you listening are going to be looking for Wheel of Time stuff. And the easiest way to find it is to go to the catalog section on New Creations by Jen, where you can see the groups of stuff for us at Black Tower Podcasts, Malkier Talks, Talk Around Riyadh, Will Reads, The Will Weaves, and Weekly Will News. So you can find all of this stuff, and you can browse and look at all the different kinds of things that each content creator that is a part of New Creations by Jen's has taken and asked Jen and Rob to put up on the site. Obviously, we're going to use ours as an example so that you can go in and look at Black Tower Podcast stuff, because we are the Black Tower Podcast. So if you go on, you can get our Two Rivers Sniper shot glass as well as Two Rivers Sniper shirt. It's available on a red shirt. So you can go on and you can get our Frosty mug, which is one of the Frosty mug collectibles. Each Wheel of Time content creator that is on New Creations by Jen has a Frosty mug that you can go in and get for yourself. So after you get ours, make sure you get the others and get the entire set and join the Frosty Mug Society. Of course, there's more than just Frosty mugs and little shot glasses, and there's plenty of different kinds of shirts with different designs on them from all of the different content creators. Of course, you can find ours where you can get our logo in black and white on a shirt. I have one myself. It's fantastic and I love it. Jen and Rob do an amazing job of working with not only their customers, but the content creators that they help support with this amazing and very good quality merchandise. So if you have not headed over to New Creations by Jen and gotten yourself something dope, make sure you go and do that. Again, it's newcreationsbyjen.com.
Yay.
Or that way, or which way, whichever way it is.
Right.
As
it's
we say,
be amazing, guys.
Every night, this has been our background breakdown of Pavara, another fantastic character amongst the 2,600 plus named characters from Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time. I have been Andrew, your Bajan Mihail.
And I have been Josh, your Sorovan Mihail, your storm leader.
And I have been Daniel, your Amon Khan Mihail. And as a sign off for tonight, guys, remember, it's the people who do, not the people who talk, that get the furthest in life. So this morning, think about what you can do. Think about how you can make a difference and make things better. And in case we don't see you again because you're out busy doing things, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. You
much trouble, just fitting.